Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 119, and with me this week is Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hello.
Mr. Rhys Parton.
Hello.
And Miss Alicia Pearson.
Hi.
Yay.
Woohoo.
Which I'll need to boost her microphone up on.
Why?
Why? Because you're not speaking loud enough.
There we go. That's the Alicia we all know and love.
Can you move in a bit? Could you actually, before you do that, could you let the dogs in?
No!
Stara's outside shouting. And I can't get past you. I can't get past you because you're in the way. Right, anyway, thank you for that, Alicia. I really appreciate it.
Alicia, get ready.
She's just stomped off. And, yes, how is everybody this week?
I'm tired.
I'm not tired.
Surprised.
Right.
Wait.
What?
That you're tired.
I was up late watching a movie.
Oh, yeah?
Watching a movie called Topsy Turvy, which is about Gilbert and Sullivan riding the Mikado. And it stars all kinds of people like Shirley Henderson and a couple other people who've been in Doctor Who.
Shirley Henderson. Which one's Shirley Henderson?
Good grief.
All right, well, don't bother asking. Alicia's getting tangled up with them. There we go. Can you move in, Alicia? Please. Can you move in as a movie chair in? Can you move a chair in? Because then you won't have to move yourself forwards. Will you? There we go. It's nice and cosy, isn't it? Yeah. Right. So, Alicia, you and I are at the thing.
Bodie Birtle and Shirley Henderson.
Oh, that's the one, yes. I know you're talking about. Yeah. So, Alicia, we're at this thing this weekend that's making you look a bit dishevelled. Oh, you need an earphone, don't you?
Dishevelled?
Well, you know, tired.
I'm not tired. You just won't let me go and get ready.
No, you won't, Alicia. Oh, never mind. Anyway, you're at that thing called the Isle of Wight Festival. Go on, tell us all. What did you think of the Isle of Wight Festival this weekend?
It was good.
I was trying to think of any Doctor Who connections with it.
There was no Doctor Who connection.
Must have been somebody that was there that was in Doctor Who.
There was nobody.
Must have been someone.
There was nobody!
I'm sure there would have been. Oh, there is a sort of slight Doctor Who connection. That chap. You remember the bloke used to be James Corden's best mate, who was on Gavin and Stacey. Dark-haired bloke, you got to sign your hat last year, and he was presenting on Sky Arts.
What, Gavin? Of Gavin and Stacey?
Yeah, I don't know what his real name is. He used to be the best mate of James Corden.
I think his name's Matt.
Yeah, anyway. Well, he was there.
Yeah, I know.
Does that count? I'm sure there were other Doctor Who people there.
There was nobody there.
But we just didn't see them. Anyway, right, so yes, the Isle of Wight Festival. What was your highlight then?
Mostly Saturday.
Saturdays weren't there, they did a couple of years ago.
No, just Saturday.
No, I mean the bands. What's the best bands, artists?
No. Well, the best art. Well, it's all Saturday's artists.
Yeah, well,
it would have been The Darkness if you would have let me see them.
It was too late. Right, well, for me, the highlight of the show was Madness. I thought they were fantastic.
No.
Labyrinth was really good because I didn't expect him to be so good. Jessie J was just Jessie J. I thought she was a bit boring, actually, but it was Jessie J. Bruce Springsteen was all
Madness?
Right.
Madness? You mean the ska band?
Yeah. They were
wow.
Superb. They were superb. I've got some
Tiny Temper.
Tiny Temper was okay.
Tiny Temper was insane. I was in the middle. And there was a mosh pit.
No, oh, never mind mosh pits.
Example?
Mm, all right. No, but the highlight, I was talking about highlights. For me, it was Madness.
Noel Gallagher.
Well, we didn't really see much of Noel
Gallagher. No, I see Noel Gallagher. He sung the Anger song.
Little by Little.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so as Madness were great. Bruce Springsteen was okay once he started playing songs like Born to Run and Born in the USA.
Oh, yeah, Christina Perry.
Didn't see her.
That's one of Sing's Jar Hearts. She was on Blinded Stage.
Saw Mel C briefly. She's in a band called the Spice Girls, by the way, listeners.
Who else is there?
Elbow, they were bloody superb.
Biffy Clyro.
They were good, yeah. Tom
Petty.
He was okay. He was much better than I expected him to be. Although apparently a friend of mine got a job like cleaning up at the hotel that they were all staying at, which is behind the stage, and apparently the floor was covered in dust, which turned out to be cocaine in his room. So I shouldn't really think he should be doing that at this age. Yeah. So they could actually hoovered it up and sold it to people in the...
Oh, Professor Green. No, I saw him. And DJ Fresh.
Okay, thank you, Alicia.
Oh, Retro 22.
Who?
Retro 22.
Right, okay, thank you.
Who else?
Anybody else? So who was the headliner for... Because it was supposed to be American...
Oh, I saw Lana Del Rey as well.
Lana Del Rey. I've heard of Lana Del Rey.
Lana Del Rey.
Or Lana Del Rey, even.
Yeah.
Mm. So who was the headliner on Friday night?
Tom Petty.
Tom Petty. And who was the headliner on Saturday?
Pearl Jam.
Well, I thought they were mediocre, really, Pearl Jam.
I thought Bruce Lee was good.
Yeah, they were okay. I thought Biffy Clyro were better than Pearl Jam. Bruce...
I think my highlight's probably Tiny Temper. He was amazing.
No, Madness for me. Madness was absolutely amazing. Got the crowd going. Brilliant.
And DJ Fresh. DJ Fresh was amazing.
No, Madness was great.
And Professor Green.
And like I say... what was it? Bruce Springsteen. He was good once he really did pick up once he did the last like half hour. He did Born to Run and Born in the USA, and he did like.
Right. Whose phone is close to a
probably mine
computer?
Probably mine. But I'm going to need it anyway.
Mine's going
to
check.
I'm going to need it because I've got certain things on it to talk to do in a minute.
How did you get so close to the stage?
Pushed.
Well, when Madness were on, that was quite early in the day, so we just walked down to the side. I think who was on previous to Madness?
Labyrinth.
Well, anyway, lots of people just left because it was near lunchtime, so there was just a gap. So we went down.
But everybody leaves when it's a gap because they're going to get alcohol
or food
and go to a loo.
So, yeah. Anyway, so we just basically walked down and got to the front, and a few other people left, and we sort of edged our way to the position we got, which was a very nice position. It was really good. Like I say, got Kix Thompson, the saxophonist of Madness, came right up close to us to play the saxophone, and got a really good photo of him. Some good, a little bit. They were stopping people from filming with mobile phones, so I did sneakily manage to get a bit. I pretended I was taking pictures, you see. So that was good. I've got some lovely photos. They'll be on Facebook very shortly. Not so much video.
Yeah, but at least you did well. For example, we pushed the lid, or I got involved in a mosh pit, and I got beer pulled over my head.
Oh, well, there you go.
The mosh pits are scary. Now, I've got cuts from that.
Yeah, go on, Kevin.
Seeing the pictures of him playing the saxophone, I'm always reminded of Goon Show jokes.
Yeah.
Play the saxophones only during the mating season.
I was going to ask you, because Alicia has been watching some of those awful programs that I always allude to on Disney Channel, and where you're a bit of a connoisseur of everything Disney.
I like Disney.
I wanted to
Channel.
Ask you, because it's a bugbear of mine over many years. Are the comedy programs on the Disney Channel, do they have a laughter trap because they're so utter crap and that nobody would ever actually laugh at them?
Insufficient data for meaningful response.
Let's give an example. A thing called, what was that thing Miley Cyrus is in?
Hannah Montana.
Probably.
That ran for about four series. A laughter track on the whole thing. I've never laughed at it once, but somehow they managed to find something. Basically, they put a laughter track over the gags, which aren't funny. The only thing about Hannah Montana, I will say, the movie was quite good, but there was no laughter track on the movie. Maybe that says it all. It wasn't funny, it was just quite a good film.
I haven't seen the movie, but the girls used to have the show on all the time, but they stopped watching that a couple of years ago.
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, that's another blimmin' one.
I find that quite funny.
It's not.
All those shows, my girls stopped watching years ago.
Because they're rubbish.
I'm not sure if they watch anything on Disney Channel anymore.
Mm. I just watch it because there's nothing else on.
There's loads. You've got about 500 channels, Alicia.
Yeah, but there's no film.
Movie from the movie channel.
Yeah, there's no Sky Movies on. And Mean Girls.
I've heard of Mean Girls. Is it Mean Girls? Is that the sequel or something?
No.
All right. But yes, you have lots of stuff you could watch. Disney Channel is not something I would expect you to put on at your age. What do you think, boys? Is she too old for the Disney Channel?
No.
Oh, Kirby, that does not help me out. Right. Thank you for that, Alicia. Right, let's see if we can pick up something called audio feedback. What are you doing? Getting hot? Audio feedback.
Itchy arm.
Got an itchy arm. Well, there you go, listeners. Alicia has an itchy arm.
For a bruise somewhere here. Look there, that's from a mosh pit. and it cuts all up my legs.
She's got this thing about mosh pits. Have you ever heard of what? Do you know what a mosh pit is?
Yes, yes. Everyone knows what a mosh pit is.
Yes, it's yes.
A massive circle where people just push people through.
Basically, and it's very, yep. very stupid in a large crowd that may have children in it. In my view, I think the artists that were encouraging it...
Tiny Temper, example.
Yeah, well, they should be told off. Anyway, by the health and safety people at
the... Professor Green.
Festival. Right, I have... this is a message. Thank you. Moving on to female. A female? Feedback. Male and feedback.
Mark Hardle's on the garden stage.
Thank you for that. Anyway, right.
We're getting some feedback from something.
Are you? What are you... dog barking? No, that's my phone. That's because I've got the phone... I know what to do. Don't worry, I know what to do.
My phone's even downstairs.
I'm going to put it on flight mode. I need it. It's got me feedback on it. Turn it off. I'd rather put an end to the feedback slot if I turned it off. Right. I'm trying
my
to get...
My phone's not even up.
Thank you for that. Right, I shouldn't do it now because I'm on flight mode.
How come you got that app?
It's not an app, Alicia. Most phones have a flight mode on it. Oh no.
Really?
Mind you, then I can't connect to the internet.
Awkward.
Oh! God!
Take it on flight mode.
I have to. Oh, sorry about any pulsing, listeners. If you hear any mobile phone pulsing over this little bit, it's not my fault, it's Vodafone's. Okay.
Oh, it's your fault.
No, it's not. Nothing's ever my fault. Tell my wife.
Phone's
it's never.
Fault.
I suppose so. Right, where was I? I was trying to get
in
some
In California,
feedback.
It's San Andreas' fault.
Yeah, yeah, proves yeah. We do not need Mr. Shoveler on this show. Where was it now? There it
where
is, right.
is he?
He's at work, Alicia. Right, this is from a chap called Scott Burditt, and he says, "Hi Adam, thanks for the plug." I can't remember what the plug was, but anyway, I continue. Bandrill Productions, a new fan-based community that seeks to recreate missing, stroke, unused classic Doctor Who episodes and also create new stories for audio using full cast featuring new music and SFX. All of the Doctors used will be one scene on TV and film, and none will be created. The aim is to follow the series continuity where possible using actors that mimic TV Doctors. There is also a Facebook page called Bandrill Productions with a list of stories we will be working on and details of how people can help out with a website at www.bandrill.blogspot.com. All the best, Scott Burditt. Sounds quite interesting, doesn't it?
It does.
I love that. You're supposed to be an actor, Reese. Try that again, but with a bit more. Come on. You might get a part in one of his dramas. Come on. That sounds interesting, doesn't it, Reese?
Oh, it does, Adam.
And I said, no, I think you should lost it now, what do you reckon? What do you reckon of Reese's chance of getting a part in one of Scott's productions? Oh. Hello? Why has Kirby just said hello? Why has Kirby just said hello? Any ideas?
I don't know. Nope.
Hello, Kirby.
Because you've faded. You're fading in and out.
I'm getting a pulse again. I'll stop it, you stupid phone. Right, let's move on to some audio feedback. I hope this is this week's audio feedback, not last week's.
Oh, I don't want to go to ballet tomorrow.
Don't you? Oh dear.
It's awful.
Hard life, and I've been
an hour's person.
I had quite a lot of feedback this week. Unusually, probably because I'm actually checking into this morning. Might be a bit loud.
Hello, 20 Million Back Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Good luck to Alicia with the mocks of Balhoon. Gridlock by Russell T Davies. The first couple we see resemble a painting called American Gothic. When the Doctor and Martha leave the TARDIS, the Doctor pulls out the arrow that hit the door at the end of the previous episode.
He does.
It is hard to see the arrow because it is raining cats and dogs. Well, not dogs, but we see the cats later. When Martha is kidnapped, the Doctor does not try to disarm the assailants with his atomic screwdriver, as the 11th Doctor will later do with the Silurians. Oh well, mustn't grumble. The Doctor is briefly in a car with two Japanese girls. I posted a screen capture on the 20 megabyte Facebook page. There is a poster on the wall which apparently says Bad Wolf in Japanese.
Oh, there you go.
Some people complain about Stephen Moffat's stories being too timey-wimey. We're reviewing the Russell T. Davies era, and we have heard about Mr. Saxon several times, and we have not seen Professor Yarny yet. If that is not timey-wimey, I don't know what is. The Doctors were on strike in UK last Thursday. What? Perhaps that is why the Galactic Exchange got confused and sent me a message from Sid the Squid, intended for the Doctor.
There you go.
I'll pass it on to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I expect the Doctor to listen to the podcast.
This is the Galactic Exchange. I have a message for the Doctor from Sid the Squid. Data uplink begins.
Cylons will fall, Doctor. Cylons will fall. Wait, the Cylons were in Battlestar Galactica. I am not accusing Moffat of anything, but some people might.
Data uplink complete. Press 1 to hear the message again. Press 2 to delete.
The Cyber Exchange had a bit of an accent there.
I don't get it.
Don't you? Why don't you get it, Alicia?
Don't get it.
No, don't get it a lot, do you?
Does she even know what Battlestar Galactica is?
No.
She doesn't know what what you just said.
What is it?
Battlestar Galactica.
It's some sort of sci-fi brand.
It's a science fiction show that was on in the 80s and then revamped, brought back a few years ago.
Reimagined.
Yeah. Well, I call it a brand because anything that's turned into little figures like Doctor Who, Star Wars, etc., it becomes a brand, doesn't it? We have some more audio feedback from some lady called Mary Lang. And she says the following. I'm sure she does.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Hello, Adam and Kirby. And I don't know who else you may have with you. I hear Robert is doing better. It would be nice to have him back on the show. But I don't know about Reese or Ben, but if you have a guest today, well, welcome to them, too. Happy birthday to Alicia. Oh, and I do agree with you, Adam, and your Facebook comment about how quickly they grow up. Before you know it, they're standing just as tall as you and reasoning things just as well as you can. It just happens way too fast. Okay, Gridlock by Russell T. Davies. This was very creative. I did enjoy this. In fact, I think I enjoyed it more this second time watching it than I did the first. Not only were the visuals in this one stunning, but I really enjoyed how creative he was with every environment in each one of the cars. Some of the outstanding ones were the American Gothic couple in the beginning. I got a kick out of the guy all dressed in white with everything covered in plastic. And the one that really caught my attention was near the end when he jumped into the car that had a, looked like a gorilla with a leather jacket and chains and two little virginal young women in the car with him. I mean, what the heck was that about?
I thought initially it was a gorilla, then it was a cat.
And something that hit me about halfway through, and when I reflected back on the last time that the Doctor was in New York, was how is it that everybody in New York have British accents? I would think that they would have thought to have the cast speaking American accents.
They just eradicated
and
American
another thing that puzzled me was, out of the blue, the Doctor's raging at the sellers of the mood patches. I did not know where his anger came from, but screaming at them and threatening to shut them down seemed a bit over the top for what they were doing. They seemed to be filling a legitimate need. The woman who bought the patch that made her forget about the death of her husband seemed to be happy with that, and then the woman who proudly showed off her honesty patch seemed happy with that, so I guess I just don't understand where his anger was coming from. But I want to dedicate some of what I want to say here to Martha. I want this to be my ode to Martha. Martha, if you're listening, I want you to know that I get it. I was going to suggest to Adam that because he sees that we're not going to get through all the episodes by the time the new Doctor Who episodes begin, that maybe we could just skip all the ones with you in it, and that might catch us up to where we want to be. But I'm giving you a second look, and I must say that I see you in a whole different light.
Uh-oh.
I remember the first time that we encountered you in Smith & Jones, that I was very impressed. You seemed to have it all together. You were witty, you were strong, you were on a very good career path. I mean, my goodness, you were studying to be a doctor. You were holding your whole family together, and I thought, whoa, this is going to be an excellent companion for the doctor.
Yeah.
You were going to be a pleasant change from the low-class shop girl that Rose was, and I expected big things of you. And in Smith & Jones, you didn't let me down. You were very clever, you were kind of aggressive, and you saved the doctor. You learned about Rose, but you just kind of shook it off, because at that point it didn't mean all that much to you. But then in the Shakespeare Code, again, you were everything that I would have wanted from you. But in that scene, in the bed with the doctor, I mean, he pretty much gave you a slap in the face when you had just learned to relax and kind of enjoy his companionship. And I know that his rejection of you had to have hurt. But you carried on nonetheless, plucky girl that you were. And even in Gridlock, you showed your better qualities. You were already the way Rose had to learn to be, because you were already a self-confident young woman. And then he lets you know, in no uncertain terms, that he really is not interested in you. But your quick mind and your stubbornness, you really were going to just sit in that chair until he told you about Gallifrey. And I could see that he really wanted to talk about it. You did a great job of pulling that out of him. So from here on, I know what's in store for you. It's going to be one disappointment after another, as you fall deeper and deeper in love, and he just remains cool towards you. I think that's what's behind all of our not caring for these episodes, is that we feel that pain, and we're not comfortable with it, so we don't like watching you go through that. But the joy of going on these adventures keeps you going. And I am going to go on watching you and enjoying your intelligence, your creativity, your ability to help the doctor solve problems. I will watch you go on being the companion that maybe the doctor doesn't want, but you might be the companion that he needs. So once again, Martha, I say, I get it. I share your giddy excitement at the end when the doctor does come through and opens up the highway so that everybody can fly up there. It was a real joy to see. And I love your theme music. I love when it comes on every time you're there. In fact, early on in the episode, they play your theme while he initially is talking about Gallifrey. One would almost think that it was the music of Gallifrey. And if anybody is wondering what the doctor knows about the face of Beau being Jack, look at his face when the nurse asks him who Beau is, and the doctor looks, I mean, it's a face of complete open honesty when he says, I don't even know. So even the doctor doesn't know the relationship between Jack and the face of Beau. Okay, I've gone on quite long enough, so that's all I have to say. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you, Mary. Goodbye. Quite like that thing she did about Martha, who, you know, I always said it was a bit of a shame that Martha only lasted that one series. But she was, again, a bit of a... I just didn't like the aspect of the, you know, the rejection, the love rejection side of things from the doctor.
I think that was a bit pathetic.
What, the love rejection?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was a good character. I mean, she did stand out quite strong in this story, didn't she?
Yeah, but well, having that, I think it's, like, built up to having, like, Catherine Tate kind of thing, because, like, they don't have a love relationship, they're just, like, best friends.
Well, the character Catherine Tate, for me, was probably the perfect companion, although not my favourite, the perfect type of companion.
No, she's my favourite companion ever.
She's my favourite companion.
Mm-hmm. But again, second only one
of the modern era.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't ever forget Sarah Jane, sorry.
No, me too. Mm. But thank you, Mary. That was terrific stuff. If you can hear munching in the background, Alicia's currently indulging in a yoghurt. Actually, not a yoghurt, is it? What is it?
A yoghurt.
It's one of those yoghurt things with a corner thing. You dip the corner, you tip it over and it goes... Oh, never mind, it's a Müller corner.
A Müller one.
Müller. Yes, Müller corner. Right, I have something here for Mr. Roy.
It's a digestive
biscuit one. Alicia. Mr. Roy Spearman. Who says the following. Are you ready?
Hello, Adam, Kirby, Comedy Clock, Salted Livestock... postman when he undoubtedly turns up later, and anyone else you happen to have in the studio with you today. It's only Roy, your other Isle of Wight listener.
Correct. You may press the button.
Thank you.
Why don't I get...
It feels nice.
Right, okay. First things first, I'm going to take a few pot shots. Well, pot shots, no. I'm going to just pick up a few points from episode 118 that I listened to over the weekend. Right, Kirby, Hot Mikado. You have a copy and you have watched it, sir. You said that you'd got hold of a copy of the ITV production starring Eric Idle. Hot Mikado is what is referred to by Gilbert and Sullivan fans and files as any version of the Mikado whereby they've changed the setting from Japan to 1920s UK seaside. So,
press the button.
Incorrect. Think again.
If you've got the Eric Idle starred version, you've got a version of the Hot Mikado, although admittedly it is just referred to as the Mikado in the title and not the Hot Mikado. So we'll let you off with that one.
Can I press a button?
All right.
So nice.
Right. Primeval. We're on to Series 6 now.
Primeval,
and there's a very, very, very simple reason why it has survived as long as it has with the same storyline every single week.
It's rubbish!
Yes. There is a chance, as has happened in the first two series, where there will be an episode where Hannah Spirit is running around in her underwear.
Hey.
I say no more.
Oops. And then we reach what point?
The point where I press the button again.
All right.
It's so nice, it's really nice.
And then we reach what point?
Right, Olympic Village up in Stratford. I grew up in Stratford. I was born in Plaistow. I spent the first 21 years of my life living in Forest Gate. I know the area very well. The area where the Olympic Village is being built was not a wasteland. It was, in fact, a train yard and was going to be a new train yard for the international Eurostar service that was supposedly going through Stratford. That never happened because our wonderful political masters ran out of money. What a surprise that isn't. I can hardly believe, Adam, that you've never listened to the radio series of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
No, never done that.
You don't know what you've missed out on. It's a fantastic audio series. No. It also means that when Kirby talks about the press the button in the Shoe Event Horizon lecture classroom, you haven't got the faintest idea what he's on about.
Correct.
Which is a real pity, because it truly is very, very funny.
If you say so.
Anyway, on to Gridlock, which is the whole reason why the podcast exists, and, bring it back round to Doctor Who. I know some people have said they don't really like this episode, but I actually quite enjoyed it. I love the way the Doctor goes off on one about drug abuse right at the very start of the episode, the mood-enhancing pill seller. And I really do like the way that all the drama happens in front of you as monologues dialogues between the different sets of actors as they explore what the lifestyle is like living in this entombment, really. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it's a good episode, and no doubt you guys will all disagree. Anyway, I look forward to hearing the finished chaos when you first splice it all together and put up episode 119. See you later, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you,
Chaos.
Goodbye.
Aren't you forgetting something?
No, I'm not.
Press the other button.
Oh, right.
Alicia is looking completely bemused at this particular point. Thank you, Roy.
Did he go to festival?
That's
the
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, yes, I got that one.
Now, there were some pauses in there. Were they my internet connection, or was that the recording?
I don't know. Sorry. They were pauses, though, weren't there, Alicia?
Sorry, no?
I don't know, there might have been. I don't know. Possibly. Moving on, I have some audio.
Yeah, but Primeval...
Oh, yeah, go on, Alicia. Primeval's rubbish. We did establish
listen.
Go on.
Right, Primeval, they're repeating the exactly same series they had on Watch on ITV.
Yes, because they did a deal with Watch to show it on there first before they showed it on ITV.
What's the point?
I don't know. Money, I suspect.
But it's rubbish.
Correct. Well, I've got some audio feedback. This is from Jim the Fish.
And Jim the Fish.
As follows. Have you not heard Jim the Fish?
No.
I'm just about to.
This is the Galactic Exchange, calling the 20 megabyte podcast. Jim the Fish is having another dream sequence. Connecting you, now.
Are we there yet?
We've been stuck in this queue of traffic for days, and not moved more than an inch.
But are we there yet?
Looks like the rain's easing off. Maybe we can see now where exactly we are.
Did you take a wrong turn at Alpha Centauri?
Why is that?
This isn't New Earth. That sign says, "Welcome to the Isle of Wight Festival."
What? Is it morning already? Ah, here's Natasha. Have you prepared your review for the audio feedback?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, let's hear it.
This was an exciting and thought-provoking episode. Those monsters down below were very frightening. I was on the edge of my seat when Abby and Connor...
Shouldn't that be the Doctor and Martha?
This is the 20 Megabyte Primeval Podcast, isn't it? I was reviewing this week's episode where Abby and Connor go underwater in a submarine to close an anomaly.
Well, it looks like someone has got their wires crossed.
Oops.
So there will be no review this week.
I could review it for you.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Really? It's no trouble.
I would rather blink at a weeping angel.
Or, I could tell you an interesting fact about gridlock.
Okay, I'll take the bait. What is it?
When gridlock was first shown, it followed a football match and was aired 40 minutes later than usual.
That is interesting. What would have happened if the game had gone to extra time?
The end of the episode would have been decided on penalties.
Well, that's enough about penalties, so I'll shoot off now. No pun intended. This is Jim the Fish, Natasha, and Cyber Ben, signing out.
Bye.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, listen, and you're listening to the 20 megabytes Doctor Who podcast. Rah.
Sorry about that.
We're back.
Difficulties with cables.
Right, technical chaos.
What did you get up to? Where did you get up to? Hello?
Huh?
Are you still there?
Who?
Yeah. You? Who? Yeah, so where did we get up to on the, before you heard a strange noise?
I don't remember.
Ashley Cole's fault.
Never mind Ashley
Cole.
It is Ashley Cole's fault and Ashley Young. Yeah. But anyway, moving on. Right,
we just finished with Jim the Fish.
Oh, you finished it?
Went all...
Oh, don't worry. I'll edit that bit. Gridlock Boy, Russell T. Davis. This is my notes I written down with my own hand.
Why is it called Gridlock Boy?
Bye.
We just finished with Roy, actually.
That doesn't work because you just told me you finished with Jim the Fish. Sorry.
Was Jim the Fish.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. You can try that one on me. It won't work. Right then. So we got Gridlock by Arthur.
A car is being
I'll read my notes.
Attacked by something.
Yeah. Can I read it? Because you read it in a sort of strange. Monotonic.
Dr. Stretch's definition.
Right, a car is being attacked by something. Shut up. They die, it says. I wrote it in a slightly quick way.
You
so I know
wrote
what I'm
the
saying.
Die.
Yeah, but I knew what it said. Because I know the word died there reminds me that they died, the people in the car, that is.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
No, because they got hit. They
got attacked by something.
Yes,
we don't know it's a crab yet, not at this stage. Doctor stretches the definition of one trip by saying, well, we could go
once in the future, and then Martha was like, can I go to your planet? And then he was like, no, I don't want to go home.
He was like, no, I don't want to go home.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Martha wants to go to Gallifrey.
I just said that!
Yeah, I'm reading my notes, I don't care what you say. But basically, then the Doctor goes on about the sky burning orange, blah, 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 blah. What else are we going about? It basically describes citadels and stuff like that, which is...
In a dome, and the mountains stretch on forever with red grass.
Thank you for that. And there was about the snow.
And snow.
Oh, it was at the end he said about that, didn't it? But they did try to recreate this version of Gallifrey for the flashback sequences that The Last of the Time Lords, and also for the actual End of Time stories. Anyway, then he decides they're going to go...
And the twin sons.
Yeah, that's right. Well done. To New York. And I'm not going to call it Noon in a New Year because I lost track of that. Noon, talk about Robert Haynes. I have had a message from his brother, Mark, who says that he's still not too good, but not too bad either. So he's recovering. So I'm sure as soon as
he's
in hospital, he's had operations and things. Because he's not very well.
Why?
So obviously, as soon as Robert's fit, he will appear on Facebook, everybody, and we'll know he's well and he'll be back on the show. But that's been a rather long time. It's longer than the last time he was off, you know, when he was off for a while, wasn't it? I mean, he was really, really seriously ill, and he was off for less time than he is now.
Because it's operations, and you feel...
I know, he's... But he's Robert, and he's an amazing man. He'll hopefully he's still listening to the show during on his sick bed.
And he's probably on like anaesthetic and drugs.
Martha objects to being taken to the same planet as Rose was taken. Bit jealous, bit pathetic.
I don't really like that story, though.
And she mentions the word rebound. She had no right to talk to the Doctor like that. What do you think, Alicia?
Mm-hmm.
Been on one trip with him, and then he goes to take her into the future.
Yeah, because she's falling for him.
Yeah, sorry, not having that. Anyway, so some stalls open up. They sort of like
moods.
They're
selling drugs.
Or moods.
They're selling drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs.
Moods.
Mood drugs.
And then this very sad lady with very great big eyes turns up and wants to buy Forget because it's her parents that got killed at the beginning of the episode.
No, it ain't!
I think it was. I got the impression it was.
No, she never said that.
Didn't say
it. She did.
No, she didn't. She goes, my parents
have disappeared.
Oh, not killed. They go onto the motorway.
No.
What do you think, then? Go on, then. What do you think?
No, she said, my parents went onto the motorway.
Yeah.
And then the doctor said, why are you so sad about that? They'll come back. They can drive back. No one ever comes back once they got onto the motorway. That's what she said.
I know she said that, but I got the impression it was in relation to the two people that died at the beginning of the episode.
No.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's your opinion. That's my opinion.
I'm
going to
ask Russell T. Davison.
You're going to ask him, yeah. You could try and dig out the old confidential for that one. I'm sure we got it somewhere in that collection of old things you've got upstairs.
But I'm correct.
You're what?
But I'm correct.
I thought you said, but I'm cracked. I thought, that's a strange admission. Anyway, Martha gets kidnapped.
By Andy the Ghost.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. But then we see a very rare location shot in a sort of alleyway, because most of this is studio van, I've got the feeling it was studio van, of sort of a yard alleyway sort of place where she was gets bundled into the car. And about the CGI car, I thought it looked a bit CGI.
Yeah, it was too CGI.
Yeah.
That's because it was CGI.
Oh,
sometimes it's CGI, sometimes it's a practical set, and on the commentary track, they talk with someone from the mill who gets all into how there's various cars that they use all over the place. It was distracting listening to commentary this time. I didn't listen to it all the way through because the story is so good. I kept just turning the commentary off.
Okay. That's interesting you said that the story's so good, because I seem to remember you last week saying, oh no, it's next week's one you don't like, isn't it? I'll carry on, sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry.
The human Dalek.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Daleks Take Manhattan.
Okay, that's next week.
Which has some good aspects in it.
It does.
Good thing.
It's good until he turns into a human.
So it's good after that as well, but that bit of it's a bit silly. But anyway, three passengers, apparently, you need to get into the fast lane of this motorway.
Adults.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Gene and Milo, is that right? Gene and Milo were the two very lovely kidnappers who sort of hijacked.
What's she been in?
You just said what she'd been in, didn't you? Being human, yeah. She's like a vampire type thing. Is that right? She's a vampire?
Annie the ghost.
Oh, the ghost. She's Annie the ghost in Being Human.
Mm. And she's got a baby.
And other things. Yeah, she's got a baby, isn't she? That's right. I don't know if she's seen Being Human, but I've seen bits of it. You know. She's pregnant. And it will take 6 years for them to get their destination, by which time their child will be ready for school. Apparently. The Dr. Sonic's...
You know, if they can get off on these platforms, why don't they walk?
Because it goes down to the underground city and it's all the fumes.
Fumes, yes, good point. Fumes. But they could get some breathing apparatus, surely. I mean, this is the millionth
century. No, because it's upper ground. If they just get off onto the platforms, they'll be in the underground city again.
Breathing apparatus is currently...
Unless you can fly. Do you want to fly? Hey? To the top?
I'm just saying, Alicia, if the air's so bad, etc., etc., breathing apparatus could help them in that situation. I know that's to do with the virus, which we find out about later. But even with that, certain equipment they could use. Anyway, I'm moving on. Dr. Sonic's his way in through the motorway, and he starts choking on fumes. Exhaust fumes. And then the cat lets him in. Lets him into his car. An Irish cat, funny enough, Brannigan. Yeah, Father Ted. And then, of course, Valerie is his human wife, which seems a bit sick to me. What do they call it when you do things with animals? It's a strange
Roxel?
Word for it.
Disgusting.
Disgusting, that's the word I was looking for. What did you say?
Roxel.
Roxel?
Think about it.
She's doing an Isle of Wight joke, listeners. the doctor tries to get out. I've skipped a bit. Sorry, the kittens are cute. Especially that one that goes...
Yeah, okay. That's what I don't get. Okay, she's human and she's giving birth to kittens. How is that possible?
It's a TV show.
Where a bloke flies around in a blue box, etc., etc. Right, then, the doctor tries to get out, but they have passed the lay-by. Now, this slow route moving traffic in that time has already... I know they did say something about move 20 yards.
Yeah, they moved 20 yards, so he can't go back.
Convenient for the plot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the doctor tries to call the police, but is put on hold. They contact these two little old lady married couple of people, and they seem to be car spotters, is it? They sort of seem to be making loads of all the number
possible?
Plates. What, that they're car spotters?
Yeah.
I don't know, how is it possible, Alicia? You tell me.
Because there's loads of exhaust fumes, and they're like on the, not at the top, so they can't see cars coming in.
Well, each car has its own sort of code that, you know, sends out and comes on their computer. I suppose they note down the numbers that way, although...
Yeah, except they never seem to be looking out to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Particularly to be able to note how many... have gone by the pharmacy town in the past 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I know what Russell T. Davis haters would say about
although
that.
Although the obsession of train spotting, I do understand. I used to do that with L trains when I lived in Chicago.
Yeah. Fair enough. I think seem to remember an I Spy book I used to have when I was little, in which I used to spot car number plates.
Oh my god, that's so sad.
Thank god there's things like the internet these days. Anyway, they give out Martha's car number, which is 465. Martha, Milo and Jean descend to the fast lane and hear noises. There's something huge and hungry down there, apparently. It's called Alicia Pearson. Oh no, it's not huge, sorry.
You calling me fat?
No, it's me, dear. You know I'm fat.
No, you're not.
No, you're among us. Dr. Arse Old Ladies, that sounds, just sounds a bit dodgy. Dr. Arse the Old Ladies, if they've ever seen a police car. Have you ever seen, have you ever been to a Turkish bath? That's an airplane line, by the way.
No.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Surely not.
Don't call me Shirley. No is the answer, says Sally Calypso. Similar name to Sally Sparrow, I thought. Play, I wonder where Stephen Moffat got that idea from. Moving on. Plays a tune into the cars and everybody sings. It's and I quite.
What's the song called then, Dad?
Not, I don't know what the song was on this particular scene. I know it was Abide With Me later on. But I say this is a really very pointless scene, but I did rather like it.
Yeah, I think it's pointless. How are you supposed to hear people sing anyway?
And also,
when all the cars are like blocked
radio,
up with exhaust tubes.
Radios.
And I don't care because how's it even coming on anyway? Because there's nobody upstairs, so what's the point?
I reiterate, radios.
No.
Anyway,
yeah,
Martha.
Radios.
Martha.
And if you'll notice, the actors have little earpieces in their ears because they were using those to get the words right.
Oh, I thought they were using those so they could make sure they were singing the notes in the correct tone.
Hello, clock.
Oh, God's sake. You could have shut that door.
No.
Martha soon learns the words, though. You notice how quickly Martha learned the words? No? Okay.
She wasn't singing. She was just like, oh, my God.
Okay. Well, anyway, car 465 reaches the fast lane. The doctor jumps down through the cars by sonicking his way through the trapdoors. Why these cars have got trapdoors up top and bottom
is
very convenient.
The song is The Old Rugged Cross.
That was it?
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I didn't know that. He gives Valerie the coat that he loves. I love that coat, he says.
He said he could just borrow it.
Car 465 encounters...
Well, did you notice who he got the coat from?
Yeah, that's what I was supposed to say.
Who did he get the coat from? Sorry, no, I didn't.
I believe he got it from Janis Joplin.
Really? Is that, is that what he said? I missed that bit.
Let me find it.
I must have been writing notes at that point.
Yeah,
but while you find it, can I continue?
I suppose.
Cool. So, yeah, car 465 encounters closed junctions, and they are advised by a black cat, not a gorilla. Did look like a gorilla initially. But it was indeed a black cat, to get out of there, and the cat's car then gets destroyed. I think that black cat had a human companion, didn't it?
Two human companions.
Lots of very strange behaviour going on in New York.
It's a billion years. So
yeah, so basically they're saying in a billion years we're all going to be populating with pussycats.
So technically, someone has sex with a pussycat.
Yeah, Janis Joplin gave him the
cat. Yes, indeed. All right, well done.
Why is it a mess today?
Oh, because I had to get you a chair, and all that stuff was on the chair you're sitting
on. You better clear up.
Oh, there's Rich coming from Miss Make a Mess.
No, but this table was clear. And how... It's not... No.
I don't care. Anyway, right, so... so that car gets destroyed, and the doctor reaches the lowest car and looks down into the gas. And then Novice Hain, not Robert Haynes, breaks into Branigan's car, but the doctor isn't there. And whilst the doctor's looking down into the gas, he sees these macro claws coming up. It's funny how the previous time we saw this, it was just gas, and then when the doctor looks down, he sees loads and loads of macro. But there you go.
Convenient. Well, as the lady from the mill in the commentary points out, they wanted to make sure that all of us old Who fans could see quite clearly they were macro.
No, that's fair enough. I understand that, but I'm just thinking, all those times they showed the car sort of flying through the smokes and it was just about to get killed, you could only see the tops of the claws. You couldn't really see the full macro like you could in that particular scene.
Yeah,
I'm being a bit
finicky. They put on
the
air vents. That's why.
Apparently,
the brain specs he's wearing.
Thank you. Alicia's clearing it up by saying they opened the air vents so they clear some of the gas away so the doctor could see.
That's what the doctor did.
Thank you. Car 465 gets attacked. Martha tells them to turn everything off and everything goes quiet. Now, this is the clever bit from Martha, isn't it? She saw it in a film, but she actually did a bit of a doctor thing. Now, turn it off. Why would she come up with that plan? I don't know. But certainly sort of helped her character a bit that she came up with the thing that saved their life on that particular instance.
Is where does the macro go after we've gone for the mower?
That's a good point.
That's
maybe
they someone comments that they probably just die because they're feeding on the exhaust.
So basically, the Doctor's committing genocide, then killing all those macro.
Again.
No, the face of Bo is.
Again.
The face of Bo is.
Oh, apparently, Captain Jack, the face of Bo, according to Alicia, is the one actually committing the genocide act on this particular occasion.
I watched the few remaining scenes from the Macra Terror, which is on the Patrick Troughton The Lost Years DVD. And unfortunately, I don't know the story of that one. So, did they feed on...
I have listened to it once, but I can't remember. But yes, they do feed on. This is why I remember in Torchwood, and that 456, 456 monster, I thought that was a macro because it fed on sort of noxious gases like that. And I was quite excited, thinking, oh, good, they brought one macro to Earth and it needs these kids, etc. But it wasn't a macro.
You could say it was a macro.
But it would make sense.
What was it again?
It was a 456.
What was the 456?
That's just what it was called.
Hey, it's the same one as it was a good monster.
It was a more good monster, but they could bring it back in Doctor Who, I think.
It's the same name as the car.
Thank you, Alicia.
It is.
Anyway, basically, Robert Haynes finds the Doctor and transports him away to the Senate full of skeletons. Killed. Why do they just sit there and die? Or is it just the fact that they died very quickly? Probably.
No, they died in 7 minutes flat.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. And they were killed by a mixture
Because they, died on the spot, so they got away.
Fair enough. Anyway, but they were killed by Bliss, which had a virus in it.
Yeah, though it was... everybody tried it and it created a chemical virus
mutated.
Came airborne and everybody died in 7 minutes flat. And then
Notice that the mood patches all had the green crescent on them? The same green crescent that was on the side of the hospital?
Yeah.
New Earth?
Yeah.
No. You didn't notice that, did you?
I did notice it.
Yeah, Alicia.
Yeah, but did it really explain what the mood did? They're just like, Bliss.
I'll tell you this, some airborne virus thing does rather...
That's what happened after she got absorbed from the Absorbaloft.
Oh, very good. That's very good. Anyway, this airborne virus thing does rather remind me of entering the realm of contamination, because you don't know what's up there. It's a really dangerous environment to go in, isn't it, Alicia?
I need to go and get ready.
Robert Haynes explains that the motorway people were saved. Basically, that was a ploy by probably Face of Bo to save everybody by just bunging them in a motorway in sealed cars to stop them from contracting this virus. Although it doesn't really explain the under-city places, does it? Why do they have to be in cars? Why don't they just live in the under-cities?
Because they're the under-cities are slums.
So, it's still better than being on the surface dying.
Well, they all thought that it was up surface. That's why everybody was going there.
If you say so, not convinced.
That's what they say!
All right. Anyway, he gave his life to force the power of the auto... Hang on, I've jumped a bit there, haven't I?
No.
Yeah, Face of Bo is the saviour, basically. That's what I wrote down. And he gave his life force to power the automated motorway system. Now, did I get that bit right? Because I was trying to write a very long sentence down whilst listening to the story. No, I got that one wrong. Well, I'm right, and you can't be bothered to answer. That's so typical. Huh? It's about being around you, Alicia. I'm just saying, the Face of Bo was the saviour of the day, because he gave his life force, basically saved all the people on the planet that in the cars, to power the automated motorway system, correct?
Correct.
Milo turns the system on, and the Doctor sees basically when they're sort of dying, Martha and that, they're in a car that's running out of air because they don't want the macro to see them, but the Milo decides they're just going to go for it, so he switches the systems back on and they try and fly out, but as soon as those systems are turned back on, the Doctor then sees the trace of the car on his little scanning device.
Milo, wasn't he the kid from School Reunion?
Yeah. And also a character in The Tweenies, Alicia used to be very keen on a few years ago. In fact, so keen, in fact, we went to see The Tweenies live twice at the Wembley Arena.
When I was six.
In the front row.
When I was six.
Yeah.
I'm 15 now.
Okay. By the way, thanks everybody for birthday messages for Alicia. She'd actually get to hear and see some of them. Face of Bo gives his last... and vent, and pardon, yeah, his last breath, and all the vents open. Sunlight then floods into the motorway system, and the doctor and that order them to drive up to the light. I must admit, I had a lump in my throat when watching this scene, because everybody had a tear in their eye, and David Tennant is particularly good at doing of creating lumps in throats when his tears start going.
He's
into
got
his
an
eye.
Adam's apple.
Mm. Yes. And it's quite a while since you saw. I saw Martha Jones, what the doctor says. That implies that the situation they've been in has actually been a lot longer than it felt like while watching it on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Martha arrives at Sinnet, and as the face of Bo finally dies, you are not alone.
So it is Captain Jack.
I had a lump in my throat again as the face of Bo died. I don't remember having a lump in my throat when I first watched this at that point. Do they think what?
Do you think they'll bring Captain Jack with Matt Smith?
Can you say that in English?
Do you think they'll bring Captain Jack back with Matt Smith?
I hope so. I would like to see Captain Jack back with Matt Smith. Yes, I would. I don't know if it'll happen. Maybe.
No, Captain Jack, Matt Smith and James Corden. Yeah. That'll be good.
It'd be excellent. Mm-hmm. Right, can I continue? The Doctor...
And Rory.
No, Rory's leaving very soon into this.
He's dying.
Our forthcoming series.
He's dying.
Thank you for
again.
That, Alicia.
Again.
Yeah.
By the way, the car number is car 465 Diamond 6.
Thank you, Kirby. How long does that take for him for his first bit of pedantry? Nearly an hour.
This isn't my first bit of pedantry.
The first majorly notable bit of pedantry. Doctor and Martha return to the alley where Martha refuses to go until the Doctor talks to her. Then abide with
you. No, you missed a bit. First he rejects her, then he talks to her.
Either way, she gets a foldy chair, sits it down, and then eventually he gets a foldy chair, sits down, and tells all about Gallifrey. And
there was a war.
While Abide With Me starts
That's a great scene.
It is a great scene.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny because he mentions the Daleks, and then the next episode says Daleks.
I know, but I'm talking about last week, I was talking about how good the music was, but it's only really those two choir songs that stand out for me in this as far as music goes, but they are beautiful, so I'll stand by what I said last week. And... yeah, the Doctor finally talks to Martha, and he says it's all gone. His family and friends, he says. So all these people that says the Doctor has never, been involved in any sexual relationships, or is not the result.
Well, obviously he has, because he
not the result of one.
No,
family and friends. He
said. But he had a granddaughter, if you remember.
Yeah, but people try and make out the granddaughter wasn't his; it's just some girl he picked up.
No, had a granddaughter.
And said that he was his her granddaughter.
No.
And, of course, then he speaks fondly.
Plus back in, the one with Chloe in the drawings, he mentioned, it's implied that he's been a father.
Oh, yes, I know it has. I'm on the favour of him being, somebody
Fear
who
her.
Was a husband. Husband, father, but some people like to think the Doctor has not been a father, do they? They think he's a loner. But I like to think of him as having had a family at some point in his life.
Me too.
So there you go. Yes, this episode. Now, when I first watched it, or when I was contemplating reviewing it,
He has had a family. How do you explain in the last episode of David Tennant him looking at a woman like it was his mother?
Yeah, and that's never really been explained apart from in the book, The Writer's Tale. I think Russell T. Davis' book. Writer's Tale. I haven't read that book yet, but I do intend to at some point.
He said it's
supposed to be his mother. Right.
Yes.
Thank you. Moving back to what I was just
Frank,
about to
you
say
don't
about
have
this
that
one.
Book.
No, I don't know. I don't have time to read books often.
I've got the first version of it. I didn't really realize that he was going to revise it.
Mm.
I'm going to have to get it again.
Yeah, it was in the revised version.
Forced to buy it twice.
But anyway, yes, I wasn't really sort of looking forward that much to watching this one again because I remember being fairly sort of unimpressed, sort of not bored. I don't know how to word it. It just doesn't really stand out for me, in my memories of watching it the first time around. But I did enjoy it.
I did.
I did enjoy it quite a lot watching it. The time went quite quickly, actually. Because it's not really a very sort of action-packed episode, is it? It's a lot of little...
Jumping from car to car isn't action-packed?
Not really. relationship, really, and dialogue between characters and stuff, and monologues, like they say. But it was very good. Very, very... they haven't really repeated this style of Doctor Who episode, have they, really? It's something they haven't... Apart from Midnight, maybe, that was probably the same sort of thing, but in one thing, but that was very dramatic, a very drama-based sort of thing. What do you think, Alicia? No? Okay, fine. But yes, what
when
do you think?
When Merlin was in that one.
Yeah, he was in Midnight.
Yeah, so why can't we talk about Merlin when there was someone...
No, I'll tell you what.
Merlin was in Doctor Who.
I'll tell you what. If
right,
you're,
yes,
if
he you're, was.
If you're, yeah. If you're around when we do Midnight, then I'll allow you to talk about Merlin, because I like Merlin anyway, so that's quite... But anyway, yes, go on then. Let's
I've
have,
never seen it. My middle daughter loves it.
Yeah, you have
to watch
it.
You need to watch it.
But I think you need to watch it from the beginning, though, really. Not pick it up in series 3 like I did.
No, you need to pick... No, because if the new series is coming out soon, he'll probably pick up from series... Was it 5?
Yeah, the new series are just about to come out in the autumn.
I've got
series
the DVDs.
5.
I've just never
Watch it today. It's amazing.
He can't. He's going to work.
No, he watches it before work.
He's not. He's doing this.
Before work right now. I'm leaving the house in 45 minutes.
Okay, watch it after work.
That's
what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do tonight. You're going to watch Merlin.
Yeah,
no, I have to finish watching Korra.
No, then you watch Merlin.
Try and fit it into your busy schedule. But anyway, Reese, what did you think of Gridlock?
It was all right. No, I loved it, actually. thought the first time I saw it, it was, again, an episode that doesn't really stand out, but when you go back and watch it, it's one of those gems in a way.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah. It is very
I remember
very good.
Liking it kind of when I first saw it, and now it's one that I will go back deliberately to watch. Like I said, on this particular DVD, I will turn this DVD on to watch the first and the third episodes that are on it, and then incidentally end up watching Shakespeare Code.
Okay. So, all in all, thumbs up for this one.
I will be around when we watch Midnight, because that's the Catherine Tate series, and Catherine Tate's my favourite companion, so...
No, I don't think you will, because bear in mind, I'm not 100% sure what our recording schedule is, I don't think, by the time we get to Midnight, by the time we get to Midnight, the new series will be on, we won't be reviewing this current load of stories, we'll be coming back to them after...
So will Merlin.
That'll be finished. Doctor and Merlin are going to be more or less on at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. So never mind, Alicia. Oh God.
When's Doctor Who on?
Well, the rumours have it the Doctor Who will be returning in September.
I thought it'll be October.
Pardon?
I thought it was going to be at the beginning of October.
Oh, did you now? What made you think that?
Got a hunch.
You got a hunch. Well, I wonder why you're walking like that. Ow! Stop hitting me, for God's sake. Get off. You stop it. I'm trying to look up news. Got a little bit of time to try and get some news in. Unless anybody else has anything further to say about Gridlock.
Dad?
Yes?
You know, can I, when we break this band, can this be taken off and I can clip it back on again?
Oh, whatever. I'm trying to do something completely unrelated to what you're talking about at the moment.
Yeah, but I don't like this massive thing.
Right, anyway. News. Let's see what we've got on the news front.
Can we get to a bit of pedantry?
Yeah, go on. I didn't know if you lot had finished talking about... what were we talking about just a minute ago? Oh, Gridlock.
Gridlock.
Yeah. I liked it. It was all right.
Very good episode.
Yeah. And I was trying to say that it's rather, so far, illustrating the arguments that Russell T. Davies is slightly better... Maybe than Stephen Moffat.
I don't like Stephen Moffat.
Alicia doesn't like Stephen Moffat. She's trying to take over from Ben.
I think we all are, really.
I'm on the fence. I, as long as Doctor Who is being produced in a reasonable standard, which it is when Stephen Moffat is. Stephen Moffat. He's not as good as Russell T. Davies, but he is producing Doctor Who to a reasonable standard.
I don't like Amy Pond.
She's gorgeous.
Okay,
I don't like her as a character. Yeah, yeah. Karen Gillan's a good actress, and she's pretty.
I'm afraid that I also agree with Alicia.
Thank you.
Not the cat, but Amy is a character.
I like Rory and his character.
Oh, I love Rory.
I just don't like.
You have to agree. Get rid of Amy. Keep Rory.
Yeah, we can do that. We should have Rory and what's James Corden's character again?
Craig?
Yeah, Craig in the TARDIS. That would be amazing.
I like Amelia better than Amy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's on Facebook apparently. Apparently she's called Real Caitlin Blackwood. It's a strange name, but there you go.
I thought she was going to be a Twitter.
Now, that pause that just happened.
What pause?
Was that pause just... Was that me, or did you guys disappear, or what?
No, we're still here.
It was you.
It was you.
Did I disappear, Reese?
Yeah, you did, actually.
Oh, okay. It's probably the internet, the Wi-Fi connector, because obviously with this Macintosh thing, I'm not actually connected.
Why did you call it a Macintosh?
Because that's what it is.
It's a Mac.
Kintosh, yes.
It's a Mac.
It's just short for Macintosh.
Yes.
No, we call it a Mac.
Yeah, all right.
Can I have an Apple computer for Christmas?
No, Matt Smith is nominated for Best Actor in the Airlock Alpha Awards. I'm not going to read any more than that. Some ward thing that's going on. Tenant projects. Oh yeah, he did True Love. I'd had to delete them so as I could fit the recording of the Isle of Wight Festival on the thing, so I won't get to see that one.
Now, don't forget the big news from a few days ago. Sad news.
Oh, the passing of Liz Shaw's actress, the actress who played Liz Shaw,
Caroline
John.
You told me that, and I was like, who?
Very, very sad news that Caroline John has passed. Of course, the first ever colour companion. The first companion, and probably last, to actually be sort of represented as being particularly intelligent.
It's not as big as Sarah Jane Smith.
Now,
thanks for that.
This made me go back, and I've had Inferno for quite a number of years, and I actually went and watched it.
Yeah, she was good in that.
Over the weekend, and I love that story.
Well, you've got to bear in mind, she's a proper, you know, thespian sort of Shakespearean actress, isn't she? So, that allowed her to sort of... She was very good in Inferno, because she had to play two completely, or just, no, subtly different versions of Liz, wasn't it?
Yeah. I didn't realize she was in the Tom Baker version of Hound of the Baskervilles.
I didn't know that either.
Cool.
Of course, she was also in Five Doctors, playing Liz.
Yeah, and Liz Shaw.
Yeah. But... yeah.
Dad?
What?
I just realised, you know, you said you watched that True Love thing.
I haven't watched it. I deleted it, but so as you could, I could fit the Isle of Wight Festival on the Skybox. Billy Piper was in it, I know. But it is on the iPad. Yes, I know. That's why I wanted to watch it. But because the Isle of Wight Festival itself, one episode took 24% of the whole of the hard drive, I had to delete them things, and unfortunately, that's one of the things I had to delete to keep it, to get it on there. Moving on. Yes, so True Love was on... I think it was last week, and there was one episode per day, so I'm hoping it's still going to be on the iPlayer for a while, so be able to watch it still. What we've got here, People Roundup. Karen Gillan has won the award for Scottish Fashion Icon of the Year.
Whoa.
Unfortunately, she had her clothes on whilst the picture was taken. Let's have a look at this picture.
I like her hair.
Definitely got her clothes on there.
I like her hair.
I like her.
No, I like her hair.
Thank you. Somebody on Facebook, a friend on Facebook, had their picture taken with said Karen Gillan at a recent event, and she's very tall, apparently. I wouldn't mind having my picture taken with, amongst other things. Yes, and of course it talks about
buddy.
Caroline John passing.
Speaking of Facebook, yes. As I was trying to say with a little pedant, Matthew,
no,
who I met
a pedant
at the convention I went to a couple of weeks ago,
yes.
And he's one of the people who did... the little recording for us.
Yes.
Pointed out that I was wrong with the Saturn V.
Yes. Yes.
And they have picked it up off the lawn and moved it indoors.
Are you reading this off the information that arrived at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group? Because I seem to remember reading that.
Well, and then I've got a couple of posts in there in that particular.
You have?
I will
remind people that obviously having been spending a lot of time at work and then at the Isle of Wight Festival this weekend, I have rather sort of slipped out of the loop, as it were.
Yeah, anyway, they moved it indoors in 2007, and I had been going from a aerial photograph still showing it outdoors.
Oh.
And
right.
And now when I go on Google Maps, you can see the new building and you can see the place where it used to be outdoors, and so I was wrong, and Matthew, thank you for correcting me.
Yes, thank you, Matthew. And well, I'll just want to apologise to listeners that I haven't realised until now that Alicia's got the TV on in the other room. And if you think you're hearing like, interference from other radio channels on this podcast, it's not. It's Alicia leaving the TV on in the other room where there is nobody there watching it.
No, what we are hearing every once in a while is...
I'm not hearing that at all. But anyway, just while I'm recording this, isn't it? Colin Baker recently tweeted about Caroline John that he's devastated to hear that the lovely, talented, wise and gentle Caroline John is no longer with us. Mark Gatiss said, very sad to hear that lovely Caroline has passed away. There's been lots of sort of comments of that sort of ilk. It's always very sad that we lose a major character in Doctor Who. And yeah, there's not really much more you can say about it. But obviously now, you know, it's going to start happening more and more now because they're all getting rather old, or classic series actors. But there you go. There's a book out by Earl Green. It's called Warp 1. And it's from the files of the logbook.com. Something to do with Doctor Who. Anybody awesome. Know what that's all about?
2012. No. Hey, is that a picture of a Dalek eye?
It is. And
yay, the Daleks are coming back.
No, she's just autumn. Apparently, they're on this Doctor Who news page. There's a picture of autumn 2012. Sorry, says BBC One HD, and it's a Dalek eye with some snow on it.
Yeah, why is there snow on it?
We don't know. So it's a little hint that the Daleks are going to be in the new series of Doctor Who.
Well, surprise. Did you notice that I changed my Facebook profile pic to a Dalek guy?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's a new Dalek eye, like the new Daleks, the Teletubby ones.
The Teletubby ones, yes, that's right.
Yeah, mine is a picture of the eye from the Dalek that was at the convention.
Ah.
I thought so.
Oh, well, I'll have to look into that one. That's really more or less it. Really, you know, can anybody think of
what
anything
about,
else?
Are you going to go see Toby Haydock's new production? My stepson stole my sonic screwdriver.
Unless he happens to come to the Isle of Wight to do it. I did ask him a while back. I said, Toby, can you come to the Isle of Wight to do something? He said, it's not up to me, it's up to my agents. It's very unlikely I'm going to get to see Toby in action.
He's going to be in, Sheffield, Stockport, London, couple places, Manchester.
Yeah, and all of them not quite where I'm going. Unless he happens to be somewhere around the Blackpool area at the beginning of November, which would be really good, and I probably still wouldn't be allowed to go.
Yeah, but if it's in Manchester, we can go.
You wouldn't want to go and see Toby Haydock.
Well, you can go.
Yeah, I know.
Tell you what, you can go to that while we go to the
Trafford
Centre.
He'll be in Manchester on the 23rd of July.
That's a little bit early for me. And bear in mind, Manchester's 260 miles away from where we are.
What about London or Southampton, Portsmouth?
Southampton would be good. I could probably just, although it costs a fortune just to get in off the Isle of Wight, I could probably manage
that much. About 15 quid.
Anyway, so thank you for that bit of information about Mr. Haydock. Still trying to get Johnny Candon back on the show. I thought he was going to come on this week because he sounded interested when I said, "Can you come on the show last week?" But he didn't get the message until after the show, unfortunately. So I might get Johnny back on. Over the next few weeks, because he was quite good, wasn't he? No?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry. Johnny Candon, he's a comedian chap who also works with Toby Haydock on the Doctor Who magazine. But he only was on the show a few weeks ago.
Seemed
to quite enjoy himself.
Which one? The kids one or the adult one?
No, the kids one is not called Doctor Who magazine, it's called
Doctor Who Adventures.
Yeah, that's the one. Anything else, everybody?
Nope.
I did think that might be the case from the silent, the sort of that was going on there. Nice having Alicia
silent
on the show. Isn't it nice having Alicia on the show? Mr. M
yes.
will be absolutely delighted, won't
he?
Won't.
If you see my face at the moment, I'd like The Exorcist.
I just love his blind, Alicia.
I look like Exorcist.
You look like The Exorcist. You look like the actual Exorcist. I thought The Exorcist was some sort of invisible sort of being that enters into a child and then makes them look a bit odd and say odd things.
Have you watched it?
No.
I have. It's quite funny. Well, it's not funny.
Well, it is funny in an ironic sort of way.
Yeah. Because when she walks down the stairs in a crab and, like, And then she.
Are you talking about the new Exorcist or the original version?
The original.
Oh, you saw the original one, did you?
Yeah. Sure, I find it cool. And then she's like colouring in, she turns around her head, she goes green.
Yeah, I'm sure the Exorcist is supposed to be an 18 certificate, Alicia. How would you have managed to see that then?
I can see 15s now. Do you realise that? What? I can go and watch horror movies in the. Not that I'm going to.
I should
like
really
movies,
get a jingle for Alicia's stating the obvious moment of the week. Yes.
I can go and watch, like, The Hangover. Ah!
Yeah.
And Inbetweeners and. Ah!
As long as you take your ID with you to prove that you're that age, yes.
I've lost it.
You've lost it?
Yeah.
Oh dear, it's called a passport.
Quite a while ago.
Yeah. But anyway, Doctor Who, what? Yeah, next
I
week.
I can get an over 16 ID next year.
Congratulations.
I can get a lottery ticket.
Whee.
And I can learn how to drive.
No.
Well, I can drive in a car park.
Ooh.
No, because Shannon's dad's going to teach me.
Not for free, though, Alicia.
Not for free,
no. No, exactly, so.
But you'll book me one. So it's all good.
My oldest daughter bought a lottery ticket last week. Didn't win, but we can't.
Because
you have to be 18 here.
Mm. And most of the things you have to be 18 for in this country, but
yeah,
buying lottery tickets
is
the only thing you can do.
You have to be 18 to buy alcohol. Well, yeah.
No, 21 here.
Yeah, 18 for alcohol, 18 for cigarettes, 21 is for knives and scissors and stuff, right?
What else can you do when you're 18? Oh, you can have a driver's licence.
When you're 16, you can have a driving licence.
16. So why can't you say a guy can drive?
Never said you couldn't drive. I just said I can't afford to give you lessons.
Wait, go to uni at 18. What else can you do? You can do loads.
I like that scenario. As long as I don't have to pay for it and you leave the house, and that'd be quite nice.
I'm going to Solent University. I'm just going to be across the water.
Water. Yeah, but you've got to bear in mind, if you were going across the water, you have to stay there because the boat fare backwards and forwards every
thanks.
Day.
I'll come back every weekend, though, because I'll have work.
Will you now?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, she won't be bothered.
Now, we need Dr. Phil to tell us about this hot Mikado thing, because Wikipedia disagrees with Roy.
Oh, dear, this is going to open
Wikipedia
up.
Wikipedia's not true.
Oh, no, Kirby says it is.
No, it isn't. No, it's a load of people writing a load of gobbledygook.
Is it?
Hot Mikado is not exactly the Mikado simply set in a seacoast. It is slightly different. Has
a train?
A train.
Choo-choo.
The plot of the Hot Mikado does not stray far from the original, but Kedisha is played as a vamp. Coco is characterized in a manner similar to characters such as Sergeant Bilko. There's an extra character, and some lyrics are changed. And what I saw with Eric Idle is exactly the same, except for some very minor updates in the songs. Those updates are done standardly in the Mikado anyway.
Most of that went
list. It's always changed.
Most of that went so far over my head, it's gathering bits of ice at the moment.
Yeah.
You've never... Go out and find a copy of the Mikado.
No, because I've got to try and watch...
Is he talking about avocados?
What?
No. Mikado. It's a comic opera.
Yeah, by Gilbert and Sullivan.
Who?
Never mind. God. Gilbert and Sullivan are to opera... as Shakespeare is to literature.
No. Okay.
Yes.
And I'm supposed to be...
What I say is right.
I'm supposed to be getting an A-star in English, and I don't understand a word you just said.
There's no chance of you getting an A-star in English.
I'm an A-plus at the moment. 2 marks of A-star.
And why don't you actually deliver some of that to your normal writings and language? Then?
I don't know. When I speak like a chap.
Clearly.
When I write, I write... I write posh. I get that from you.
Moving on. Right, I have been attempting to finish the show for the last 10 minutes.
I need to go get ready!
And I need to go and cook the dog's dinner. Next week will be interesting. We're reviewing the Dalek... two-parter.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, dear.
And I have plans...
My goodness, they put 4 episodes on this next disc.
Indeed. And I'm hoping to get a certain lady called Mary Lang on the show next week.
Yay.
So, fingers crossed. And also, might get Robert back would be good.
Wouldn't no.
It? Wouldn't it be good having Robert back?
I'm on it next week.
How come you're on it next week? You're going to be at school.
Now we're recording on Sunday night, and I'll be on it next week.
I don't think Kirby's going to be up on Sunday night. Where
Kerry
are you going to
be on it?
Yeah, no. What time is it currently where you are, Kirby?
Let's see, it is 6:34.
6:34.
So that's late.
Yeah, so if we're recording on Sunday, Alicia, which I'll be at work anyway, you donut.
Sunday night.
Mid-afternoon for Sunday night. So a Sunday night is what about 9 o'clock at night? That would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon for Kirby.
That's not too bad.
I can do that. We've done that before.
You can do
when
that.
When you were doing some of the things in the CARDIS. A year ago.
Well, it was eight in the evening, wasn't it, then? Or was it seven? So about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Fine.
It wouldn't have reached then. It would be 1 o'clock in the morning, I would have thought. Wouldn't that be right, about right for you?
Maybe.
Hang on.
We'll have to see.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm losing my...
is it now, then?
What time would it be in Australia if it was 8 p.m. in the UK? 8 in the morning? Something like that?
What time
probably
is it now?
Just
it's currently... 12:35.
No, in Australia.
What's it now in Australia?
It's 9:35 p.m.
Right, so okay.
It feels weird that you're just like you're gonna go to bed soon, and we're just like getting into the day.
So you take
the future.
Three.
He knows what happens.
3 hours plus 12 hours, 17 hours. I'm losing it. Anyway, right, so thank you, everybody. Next week we'll be back as normal. Don't know if Alicia's going to be on the show.
I'm going to be on the show.
Are you really? And of
I
course,
think she is.
It'd be awkward if Mary's been sort of... I've been telling her we're recording between 11 and 1 on a Monday, and then we decide at the last minute to change.
No, we're doing on Sunday, so I can be on
it. It'd probably be easier for her, actually, to be honest with you. But we'll see what happens. Thank you, everybody. See you
give
next.
Give me enough warning so I can be ready.
I will. Well, at the moment, I'm going to stick with the Monday at the moment.
No!
Thank you. Goodbye.
Sunday.
Bye.
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 And I must apologise for the sound problems we had during that part of the show. There was a rather dodgy connection between myself and the Mac. Nothing I can do about it. Do apologise, but at least we actually have the audio this time. And now, yes, not quite the end of the show, because we nearly forgot to do something, didn't we, Alicia? Twice.
I hate you.
Yes, something went wrong with the recording. What do you reckon went wrong with the recording there,
Richard? I hate you.
Yes, what did we forget? Do you remember?
I hate you.
We didn't forget I hate you. What did we...
I hate you.
What did we forget? A regular feature on the show.
I hate you.
Okay, shall we start again then?
No.
There we go.
No!
Right, go on.
I want to be it again.
Go on. And the big top 30 this week begins at number 30 with...
Blah, blah, blah. There you go, done. I want to do it again. 30 re-entry, Ian Todd's podcast at number one.
No, you did exactly what I did last time. Right. Go on in.
29 near the Type 40 podcast. Number 28 up to the Upcoming Storm. Number 27 up to the Sonic Toolbox. Number 26 up to Earth Station 1. Number 25 up to the Colton Collective. Number 4. 24 up to Dan 1, the Travelling the Vortex. Number 23, Dan 1, the Blue Box Podcast. Number 22, re-entry under the Mini Scope. Not 21, re-entry Waffle on Podcast. Number 20, Dan 1, the Big Onion Side. Number 19, Dan 2, 2 Minute Time Lord. Number 18, Non Mover, Staggering Stories. Number 17, re-entry Earth Station 1.
No, 16, you got that one wrong, so you're going too fast.
Who?
Do number 17 again.
Number 17, re-entry Earth Station Who. Number 16, new podcast Who with Phil Stamper. Number 15, no, Doctor Who Revisited. Number 14, no. What have I done? I broke it!
Right,
number 13,
Didn't even
number
do 14.
14, the Blind Inspiration cast. Number 13, we haven't treated.
Casturberus.
Podcast. Number 12, Robbie, who's he? Number 11, re-entry the Doctor's Companion. Number 10, re-entry the Naked Scar. Number 9, up to the Fires Project. Number 8, up 1, 20 megabyte Doctor's Podcast. Whoopee.
from 7 down 1, the memory cheats, and the number 6, up down 1, Impossible Podcast, number 5 down 1, the DOWO Who Cast, number 4 down 1, the Tin Dog Podcast, number 3 down 1, the Dot 2, why is it has no R?
Well, you can still read it.
Doctor Who Podcast, number 2 down 1, the Radio Free Sky, number 1, the Entry Doctor Who Podcast.
And you didn't, you didn't notice the other misspelling there, did you? It says Radio Fee Sky, right? Which is all right, because you don't have to pay anything for it. Thank you, Alicia, and
Bye.
Listeners, once again, thank you for listening to the show. See you next week. Goodbye.
Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production, is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
Please do not listen to this podcast if you are affected by any particular mental illness.